Welcome to episode 241 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of Ephesians, the 39th book in our series, 50 Books of the Bible in 50 Weeks, continuing to explore some of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul to early Christian congregations. Ephesians 6 verses 11 to 17. Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. After an unfulfilled life of ignorance and being lost, you are finally awake in Christ, finally safe from sin, finally headed for heaven. But then you find yourself in the midst of a fight for which you might not be ready. And the battleground is within you. The same gospel that brings peace with God brings war with sin. For to say Jesus is Lord is also to say, and sin is not. And to follow Jesus is to walk in high-handed rebellion against the devil. So the same Spirit, which wraps us with heavenly comfort, also clads us with the army of God. Ephesians 6 verse 12 clearly indicates that the conflict with Satan is spiritual, and therefore no tangible weapons can be effectively employed against him and his minions. We're not given a list of specific tactics Satan will use. However, the passage is quite clear that when we follow all the instructions faithfully, we will be able to stand, and we will have victory regardless of Satan's strategy. The first element of our armor is truth. This is easy to understand since Satan is said to be the father of lies. Deception is high on the list of things God considers to be an abomination. A lying tongue is one of the things he describes as detestable to him in Proverbs 6. We are therefore exhorted to put on truth for our own sanctification and deliverance, as well as for the benefit of those to whom we witness. Also in verse 14, we're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate shields a warrior's vital organs from blows that would otherwise be fatal. This righteousness is not works of righteousness done by men. Rather, this is the righteousness of Christ imputed by God and received by faith, which guards our hearts against the accusations and charges of Satan and secures our innermost being from his attacks. Verse 15 speaks of the preparation of the feet for spiritual conflict. In warfare, sometimes an enemy places dangerous obstacles in the path of advancing soldiers. The idea of the preparation of the gospel of peace as footwear suggests that we need to advance into Satan's territory, aware that there will be traps with a message of grace so essential to winning souls to Christ. Satan has many obstacles placed in the path to halt the propagation of the gospel. The shield of faith, spoken of in verse 16, makes Satan's sowing of doubt about the faithfulness of God and his word ineffective. Our faith, of which Christ is the author and perfecter, is like a golden shield, precious, solid, and substantial. The helmet of salvation, in verse 17, is protection for the head, keeping viable a crucial part of the body. We could say that our way of thinking needs preservation. The head is the seat of the mind, which when it has laid hold of the sure gospel hope of eternal life, will not receive false doctrine or give way to Satan's temptations. The unsaved person has no hope of warding off the blows of false doctrine because he is without the helmet of salvation and his mind is incapable of discerning between spiritual truth and spiritual deception. Verse 17 interprets itself as to the meaning of the sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God. While all the other pieces of spiritual armor are defensive in nature, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. It speaks of the holiness and power of the word of God. A greater spiritual weapon is not conceivable. In Jesus' temptations in the desert, the word of God is always his overpowering response to Satan. What a blessing that the same word is available to us. In verse 18, we're told to pray in the Spirit, that is, with the mind of Christ, with his heart and his priorities, in addition to wearing the full armor of God. We cannot neglect prayer, as it is the means by which we draw spiritual strength from God. Without prayer, without reliance upon God, our efforts at spiritual warfare are empty and futile. The full armor of God, truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer are the tools God has given us through which we can be spiritually victorious, overcoming Satan's attacks and temptations. We can look at the battle gear also as preparations for prayer. Before we pray in the Spirit, we need to get right with God through the righteousness of Christ, the breastplate. We need to be pure and truthful, the belt. We need to make sure that we have read the word, that the word is in us, that we are obeying the word, the sword. Jesus is our ultimate example of resisting temptation in spiritual warfare. Observe how Jesus handles direct attacks from Satan when he's tempted in the wilderness. You can read about it in Matthew 4. Each temptation is combated with the words, "It is written." The word of the living God is the most powerful weapon against the temptations of the devil. The psalmist says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." That said, some people get a little caught up in the idea of being involved in spiritual warfare. The name of Jesus is not a magic incantation that causes demons to flee before us. The seven sons of Sceva are an example of what can happen when people presume an authority that have not been given. Check it out in Acts 19, verses 13 to 16. Even Michael the archangel does not rebuke Satan in his own power, but says, "The Lord rebuke you." When we start talking to the devil, we run the risk of being led astray as Eve was. Our focus should be on God, not demons. We speak to him, not them. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Any strength that we have is not ours, but comes from the Lord.
You're going through. Remember, God is using you. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's.
In summary, what are the keys to success in spiritual warfare? We rely on God's power, not our own. We put on the whole armor of God. We draw on the power of Scripture. The Word of God is the Spirit's sword. We pray in perseverance and holiness, making our appeal to God. We stand firm. We submit to God. We resist the devil's work, knowing that the Lord is our protector. Psalm 62, verse 2, "Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Father, thank you that we do not need to take on spiritual wickedness in our power. We have success when we rely on you, when we submit to you, stand firm in you, put on your armor, your whole armor. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.